Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right, well, we are excited about this series, continuing week two. And I kind of wanted to open up by telling you a little story. I've talked about it before. Last summer, my lovely bride and I took a vacation without the kids. Well, really, a vacation. If you take your kids, it's not a vacation, it's a field trip. And so, first vacation in 5 years, we went out to the West Coast. And I'm kind of the tour guide in our family. I kind of do the planning and all that, but I love my wife. And honestly, I tell her all the time, like I just want to go on the trip with her. I just want her to be happy. Aw, I know. And so I like polled her on what we wanted to do while we were on the West Coast. We were going to spend a few days in San Francisco. Then we were going to drive up the coast. And so I was trying to figure out what we should do while we were in San Francisco. And there was something I wanted to do that I really didn't think she would want to do. And so, but I wanted to ask her to see if she had any interest. And so I kind of asked her one day while I was planning, I was like, hey, do you have any interest in going to tour Alcatraz, the prison? And to my great surprise, she very aggressively and joyfully was like, yes, I would love to go to Alcatraz. And I was like, okay, didn't expect that response. Why? Really? Like, you're excited? She goes, yes, because when I was growing up, I loved, and this is the movie she loved, Escape from Alcatraz, which is equally weird, right? She's a girl. And she loved watching this movie growing up. I think she watched it with her dad or something. But anyway, she was like, I loved that movie. I loved Escape from Alcatraz, so I would love to go to Alcatraz. And so, of course, I bought tickets, and we actually watched the movie before we went on the trip to kind of refresh ourselves, or me at all, about Alcatraz and everything. And then we went, we toured Alcatraz. We had a great time at the prison. That's a sentence I never thought I'd say. And here's the thing. If you've ever seen the movie Escape from Alcatraz, you know that the whole movie is about really how Clint Eastwood and these two other guys escaped from Alcatraz, and whether or not they actually got away is kind of up for debate. Some people think they swam away, and others say, you know, they drowned in the water or whatever. But anyway, the whole movie is about how they escaped. It's how they planned it, how they pulled it off. And even when you tour Alcatraz, when you go there, they kind of lean into it. They're not ashamed of it. They'll show you the cells where they were. They'll kind of show you how they climbed up. And they talk a lot about how these men escaped. And it occurred to me the other day, as I was thinking about this, that there was another question that they never answered. The movie doesn't answer. The tour didn't answer. No one even brought it up. We never discussed why they escaped. We spent all this time talking about how they escaped, but we never asked why. The movie never addresses why. The tour company never addresses why. And I'm sure you're thinking, well, duh, because they were in prison. Like, everyone understands why you would want to escape from prison. Now, that doesn't mean everyone would try to escape from prison. It doesn't mean you would break more laws after you broke the law. But everyone in the room, if they were in prison and someone said, hey, we've decided to let you out early, you can go free, nobody's saying, no thanks, I'm cool. I'll just stay longer in prison, right? Like, because we all understand that if you are in a physical prison, if you are physically confined, you don't really need to wonder why you should get out. You want to get out because you want to be set free. Now, this super simple concept when it comes to a physical prison, we all get it, we all understand it. You're all kind of wondering why I'm spending so much time talking about it. It's because of this. It's because the same concept we have about a physical prison that we so clearly understand, we completely miss when it comes to the emotional prison of bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. No one would willfully choose to stay in a physical prison. But when we choose to live in unforgiveness, we are placing ourselves in a spiritual and emotional prison. If you were here last week, I started this series, and you know I preached the entire sermon in handcuffs. And yes, it was as awful as it sounds. It was terrible. I will not do that again for a very long time. But I did it to illustrate a point. If you weren't here last week, let me kind of remind you. It was to really illustrate three things about unforgiveness, right? And while we're spending a whole series talking about this idea of unforgiveness, it's because when we choose to live in unforgiveness, when we choose to hold grudges against other people, what we're actually doing is this. We're actually limiting our range of motion. Same as with handcuffs. It limits us. It also limits our capacity to interact with other people. It holds us back. And the reason it does these things is because unforgiveness makes us a prisoner. Unforgiveness traps us. And last week, we talked about kind of the first step to getting ourselves towards forgiveness, right? Because it's a process. What we talked about last week is forgiveness really comes from God. And God wants us to forgive other people, but before he asks us to forgive anybody, he forgave us. He sent his son Jesus to set us free from the consequences of our actions and the consequences of our mistakes when it comes between us and God. He came to forgive us. And so if you're here today, and maybe you've struggled with forgiveness or the concept of forgiveness doesn't make sense to you, it might be possible that the reason you can't forgive somebody else is that you've never experienced God's forgiveness for yourself. You've never tasted and seen, as the psalmist says, that God is good. Because what we learned last week is this. We learned that forgiveness must be gained before it can be given. Before you can even begin to try to forgive other people, you must receive the forgiveness that God made possible through the life and death and re-life, the resurrection of his son, Jesus. Now, if you missed last week, go back and check that out because I've got to keep going. Because where we're going to pick up today is right where we left off, with this idea that forgiveness must be gained before it can be given. But the inverse is also true. Forgiveness must be given once it's been gained. God is very clear about that. Forgiveness does not stop with us. If we have received God's forgiveness, we must give God's forgiveness. Another way to say it, and we're ever going to say it this week and next week, is this. Forgiven people forgive people. If you have been forgiven, then you should forgive. You should seek to give away what God has given to you. And today, I want to begin talking about two fundamental questions about this idea of forgiven people forgive people. Over the next 2 weeks, we're going to answer two questions. Next week, we're going to answer the question of how. How do we do this? What is the process? How do we actually go about forgiving the people in our lives who have hurt us, who have done bad things to us, we still have the battle scars, we still have the wounds. How do we forgive those people? That's what we're going to talk about next week. But there is a more fundamental question I believe we need to answer before we get to how. It's a question that until we answer, the how is not going to matter to you. I could tell you how to do it. I could tell you how it works. I could tell you how God made it possible. But until you answer the primary question, it's not going to matter. And the primary question is this. Why? Let's be honest. It's what you've wondered since I started this series. It's what you've wondered when people talk to you about forgiving. It's what you've asked yourself. Why on earth would I forgive these people? Why would I forgive the people who have harmed me in my life? Why would I forgive the people that have cheated me? Why would I forgive the people that have betrayed me? Why would I forgive the people that have done bad things to me? That's what gives me my edge. That's what keeps me competitive. Why on earth would I let that go? Why would I ever forgive those people? It just feels so weak. Why would I do it? And the answer for why you should forgive is the very same answer for why you would want to leave a physical prison. It's because forgiving sets you free. Now, why would I say that? Why do I believe that? I believe that because as you read the Bible, as you read what God said through his prophets in the Old Testament, what he says through Jesus and what he says through the writers of the New Testament, this theme keeps coming back, that forgiveness sets you free. Forgiveness is for you. And today we're going to look at one of the guys who wrote about half of what we call the New Testament. This guy's name was Paul. Paul had experienced the forgiveness of God, and it changed his life. And so then Paul became an early church pastor and a church leader, and he was actually a church planter. He would actually travel around to different places. He would tell people about Jesus. He would start churches. Then he would go somewhere else and start a church. And then Paul would write those churches letters to give them instructions and to continue to coach them on how to be a church and how to be Christians. Well, we, almost 2,000 years later, have the letters that Paul wrote. And what we believe is that when Paul was writing those letters, it was as if God himself was speaking through Paul, and that there is authority in those letters, and that they are the word of God, and that God was speaking, and we can read these letters almost 2,000 years later, and we know what God wants us to do in our life. In one of these letters, Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus. This is one of the letters that he sent to the church at Ephesus, but he basically said, take this letter and pass it around. This is a universal letter. It applies to everybody. And right in the middle of this letter, in Ephesians chapter 4, he taps on this issue. He taps on the issue not only of forgiveness, but why we should do it. And so what I want to do is I want to turn your attention to Ephesians chapter 4. That's where we're going to be. And I want to let Paul explain to you why forgiven people forgive people. Why forgiveness is so important. And here's what he says in Ephesians chapter 4. He says this. He says, look, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Now, Paul could not be clearer in this moment. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil. Instead, forgive, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. There's no gray area here. There's no wiggle room here. What he's saying is if you are a Christian, if God has changed your life, and if you have experienced the life-saving rescue of what Jesus did for you, if that is alive in you, if Jesus is inside of you, you must get rid of all negative emotions you have towards any person because of what they did for you in your life, period. Yes, even you. Yes, even that person. Yes, even what they did. Paul is declaring. Paul is making, he's giving a command. He is saying, you must do it. What's Paul really saying? He's saying what we've been saying. He's saying, look, forgiven people, forgive people. Period. No gray areas, no exceptions. Forgiven people, forgive people. And you say, Paul, why? Why do we have to do this? Here's what Paul would say. Because God says so. See, when Paul writes, he's not speaking in his own authority. He's speaking with God's authority. And he says, look, this isn't my idea. This is what God says you have to do, so you have to do it. Now, I know for some of you sitting in the room today, because God says so, you're like, okay, that's good enough. For others of you in the room, when I say because God said so, you roll your eyes. You're like, whatever, God, okay, whatever, sure, whatever. This is all self-help anyway. And then for some of you in the room, you find that offensive. And here's what I want to say. If we switch places, and I was sitting where you're sitting, and what had happened to you had happened to me, and somebody was telling me to forgive because God said so, I would be as offended as you are. Okay? I fully understand that. But I have 21 minutes left. I'm not done talking. Because I want to help reframe the way you look at because God said so. Because let's be honest, we hear it the way we heard our parents say, because I said so. And we know sometimes our parents said that for good reasons. Sometimes our parents were just done with us. Right? We all experience that. So, but let me help you understand God. God is not like us. God is better than us. God is perfect, which means his love is perfect, which means his plans are perfect, which means anything he's ever wanted for us, he's ever said to us, anything he's ever done on our behalf has been completely and totally for our benefit. It's been him trying to give us the best life possible. And parents, you can relate to this because you know there are times you've had to give your children rules and you had to give them consequences and you had to give them barriers and you've had to say no and they get mad and pout and they call you so mean. And you know you're just trying to protect them, right? You're just trying to keep them safe. Everything you're doing, well, again, not everything you're doing. Sometimes you just want them to go away. But most of the time is for their benefit. Well, God is that way all the time. 100% of the time. Do you know God's never been annoyed with you ever? Yes, teenagers, even you. He's never been annoyed with you. He's never been annoyed with you when everybody else is, when you're at your most annoying. I said it the other day. Here's how God reacts whenever you talk to him. You know how like your grandma or your aunt or like a teacher you run into, somebody you haven't seen in a long time, but like, you know how like an old woman reacts when they haven't seen you for a long time and they could eat you alive? Like, you know how great that feels? You know, when you go to grandma's house or like your aunt's house, something, they're just so happy to see you. That's God all the time for you. Right? So this is the God I'm talking about. This God who is wild about you, who is madly in love with you, who only wants the best life possible for you. He wants to do everything in his power to protect you, to keep you safe. He is the one saying that forgiven people forgive people. And he's the one that's saying, you should do it because I said so. But what we should embrace about God, and what we should embrace about the fact that God says to do something, here's what our brains need to begin to learn. And as you obey God and as you get to know God better, this becomes a little easier for you to figure out. But when God says to do something, we should do it. Not simply because he says he'd do it. We should do it because it's better. It's better. Which means if forgiven people forgive people, if that's what God says to do, that means it's better for us. That means that we will experience a tremendous value in our lives, personally, our lives, when we choose to forgive other people. That's what it means. And that's why because God says so matters. And that's why it's better. Now you may wonder, okay, how is it better? How is it better if I actually forgive the people that hurt me and let them off the hook? And all that? How is that better for me? Well, let's go back to what Paul says. Paul says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, and then harsh words, slander, and all types of evil. But look at those three. Bitterness, rage, and anger. Do any of those sound like good things? Do any of you wake up in the morning and say, I can't wait to get bitter today? I can't wait to rage today. I can't wait to get angry today. Has any situation in your life ever been improved by bitterness, rage, and anger? Have you ever been in a conflict with your spouse or a conflict with your boss or a conflict with an employee or a conflict with a neighbor and thought to yourself, if I were just more angry, this would go better? Not once in your life have you ever said to yourself, if only I had more bitterness, more rage, and more anger, it would be better. See, the reason God says forgiven people forgive people, it's because when you don't forgive, because when you hold on to bitterness, rage, and anger, the only person that hurts is you. Actually, I take that back. You and the people you love. See, in our brains, we don't want to forgive because we want to hold on to the bitterness. We want to hold on to the rage. We want to hold on to the anger because we think somehow that's going to fuel us into getting even with the other person. And getting back at them. And if I'm going to stay mad enough, eventually I'll get even with them. Not going to happen. This is not a Clint Eastwood movie. Right? There's not going to be a final showdown. You're not going to get even. You're not going to ride off into the sunset. It's not going to happen. But we tell ourselves it will. And we hold on to this bitterness, and to this rage, and this anger. And we never understand, but God sees it. God's like, the only person you're hurting is yourself. The only person you're hurting is the people that you love and care about. There is a Christian author, and her name is Anne Lamott. And she has just, I think, the most extraordinary quote outside of the Bible on unforgiveness I've ever read in my life. Here's what she says. She says, "Not forgiving is like drinking rat poison and then waiting for the rat to die." It's, I'm mad at you, so I'm going to fill myself with poison as a way to punish you. Folks, just think about it. You don't have to admit, you don't have to decide to forgive yet, but just admit. That's crazy, right? Like it doesn't work. But we continue to tell ourselves, no, 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 I can't let go. No, 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 I gotta hold on. I gotta keep this. This fuels me. You know, you're like all living in the Count of Monte Cristo. Never gonna happen in real life. But it's what we tell ourselves. We think it's going to happen. And what God is trying to proclaim to us through Paul, through his son, through the writings of the New Testament is this. He's saying, look, guys, forgiving people forgive people. Why? Because it's better. It's better than bitter. Forgiving people is better. It's better for you. It's better for your family. It's better for your friends. It's better for everyone. And you think you can't do it because it's letting them off the hook, but that's not what happens. By you holding on to unforgiveness, by you holding on to that grudge, by you holding on to staying anger and bitter, not only are you not hurting the people that hurt you, you are doing the very thing you swore you never allow to happen again. You are continuing to allow them to hurt you. Because by holding on to what they did, by holding on to the bitterness, to the anger, to the rage, by holding on to it, you are continuing to allow them to control your life. And so why does God say forgive? Why does he want us to do it? It's simple. Because it's time to stop letting them control your life. Yes, they hurt you. That does not mean they get to continue to hurt you. Yes, what they did was awful. So why would you allow them to continue to have a say and to have control over your life? See, by nursing that grudge, that's what we do. We continue to give control back to them. We continue to say, yes, what you did in the past is going to continue to affect my present and it's going to continue to affect my future. And it doesn't make any sense, guys. The very people that harmed you are continuing to harm you. And they're not doing new things. It's because what they did in the past continue to affect your present and your future. And the reason God says forgive is because he knows that forgiving is better. Because forgiving is how you win. See, you think that forgiving them means they won. You think forgiving them is some way letting them off the hook and letting them free from the consequences, and it's defeat. But see, God sees it completely differently. Forgiveness isn't defeat. Forgiveness is victory over what they did. Because it's the first step to freedom. See, we don't forgive people to release them from the consequences of what they did. We forgive people to release us from the consequences of what they did. Not only of what they did in the past, but as we continue to hold on to it, we experience the consequences again and again and again and again. And God is looking down, he's saying, I want better for you than that. Just because something happened in the past and it hurt you, it does not have to continue to hurt you. It does not have to continue to have power over you. You can forgive them. And let me help you. You can forgive them and still press charges. You can. because the charges are between them and the government. If they break the government's law, they should have the government's consequences. Your heart can be set free while they go to jail. Bye. You can forgive someone and discontinue the relationship with them. It may be unwise for you to continue the relationship, but you can forgive them. You can be set free from the bitterness and the anger that occurs every time you see them in public. You can be set free from the need you have to Facebook stalk them to see if their life is bad. And every time you find out their life is better, your life gets worse. Because you're so mad at them, you don't know what to do. You can be set free from those things. And the way we are set free, as we tap into the life-changing power of Jesus, the power that died for us, the power that came back to life, the power that forgave us, and we forgive the people in our life who have harmed us. Now, you may wonder, how do we do that? Well, that's what we're going to talk about next week. Next week, I'm going to do my best to get as practical as humanly possible to help you understand how this works. But for today, today's not about the how. Today's about making you care about the how. Today is about the why. Why should you forgive? So I want to get very practical as we close, right? I want you to think about the person or the couple of people who you feel like have harmed you the most in your life, the one you carry the biggest grudges, the one you carry the biggest bitterness and rage and anger. This shouldn't be too difficult because they're the ones you've been thinking about the whole time I've been talking. They're the ones you've been coming up with excuses about. Oh, you don't mean that person. He's talking about everybody else, God. He ain't talking about that one. You don't know what they did. Yeah, I'm talking about them. I want you to think about them. I want you to think about what they did. I want you to think about how you feel about what they did, right? I want you to allow yourself to experience that for a moment, okay? Think about those people. Think about what they've done to you. Think about what they've done in your life. And then I want you to answer in your own mind just one simple question, okay? And here's the question. How long am I going to allow them to control my life? It's up to you. How long are you going to allow those people that don't care about you, those people that harmed you, how long are you going to allow them to continue to harm you? How long are you going to allow them to control you? Just seriously, when you get home today, get out your calendar, pick a date. How long do they get to win? How long do they get to control me? How long do they get to affect the type of parent my children have? How long do they get to affect the goodness or badness of my day? How long do they get to empower and affect how I treat other people? How long do they get to affect what kind of boss I am? Or what kind of employee I am? What kind of neighbor I am? How long do they get control? Just decide. Because until you walk in God's path, until you choose to forgive, they will continue to be free. And you will continue to live in prison. Does that make any sense at all? It's time to stop letting them control your life. See, when we live in unforgiveness, here's what we're really saying. What we're saying is that what they did is more powerful than what Jesus did. We're saying that their actions towards me has more power, has more control over me than what Jesus did 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross and came back to life. Now, none of you in the room would say those things, but that's the reality. When we choose to live in unforgiveness, when we choose to hold on to it, we are giving them the place of God in our life. We are giving them And folks, that is not a spot they deserve. So my prayer for you this week, people that have hurt you, you begin to identify some people that you've allowed to have control over your life, not because of what they're doing, because of what they did. And that the truth of today will begin to change you. That you'll decide that it's no longer worth it to live in the prison, that you want to be set free. Set free by the truth that forgiven people forgive people. Why? Why would we do that? Because it's the first step to freedom. Because it's how we finally set ourselves free from the consequences of what they did. Doesn't that sound better? Doesn't that sound better than bitter? What we're going to do now is we're going to close with a song. And as the band gets ready, here's what I want you to do. I want you to really think about those names. And as we sing this song, I want you to listen to the words. And it's one of your favorites, so you're going to love the song. But as we sing the song, I want you to begin to imagine what your life could be like if you didn't wake up every day thinking about them. If you didn't wake up every day wondering about what their life is like. If you didn't wake up every day thinking about how to get revenge. If you finally took control of your life back. And you stopped placing your hope in revenge. And instead placed your hope in the resurrection. Hope in the man who defeated death. Hope in the man who wants to give you the best life possible. Hope in the man that set you free from the consequences of your sin. And now wants to set you free from the consequences of their sin. So as you sing these words, I pray that your heart is full and you decide, yes, it is worth it. I want to know how to forgive people. And then next Sunday, do not miss it. Come back. And I'm going to tell you how. But come back excited. Come back changed because you know the why. Because you know it's better. Because you know it's worth it. Because you know it is the only way for you to be set free. Let me pray. Father, we love you so much. God, I just thank you for the clarity of your word and your truth. And I thank you that how you care about us and you want the absolute best for us. And Jesus, I just beg that you will make it real in our hearts today. We will feel hope. We will feel freedom in the fact that we can finally be set free from the consequences of what people have done to us. Lord, we want to experience your freedom. We want to experience your truth. Thank you for rescuing us. Help us find freedom in you. It's in your son's name we pray.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.